A few weeks ago, I mentioned that I wanted us to start on a journey on which we would see that the Christian faith is a faith that is not a blind faith, but a faith that has reasons and that there are good reasons to believe that Christianity is true. However, today, because some of you have graduated, I would like us to pause and think a little bit about what this means for you. The time, or this time, is a time to celebrate the accomplishments of those who have graduated this year. Now, of course, the things I'm going to say are going to apply to a large extent to everybody else. It's a time to look back at the successes of the past years and to realize that your efforts have paid off and are now being rewarded. Even though the road was certainly not easy, you persevered and you reached your goal. And for that, you should be commended. But it is also a time to acknowledge the grace of God by which you were able to reach your goals. As believers, we should always give credit to God for anything we achieve. The Apostle Paul was a truly remarkable person. His results in the academic realm, in evangelism, in his understanding of the Old Testament scriptures, in planting new churches, is unrivaled by that of any other apostle. Yes. However, although Paul was aware of this, of his accomplishments, he gave full credit to God and to His grace. This is what Paul said. He said, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect." No, I listen to what he says. In one breath, he both says that he worked hard, and yet God did it all. Here's what it says. I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Amen. And I believe that we should learn from this great man of God. And we ought to also give credit to God for everything we are and everything we're able to do. We should also say with the apostle, not I, but the grace of God that was with me. But this is not only a time to look back and to acknowledge the grace of God, it's also a time to look ahead. In life, whenever we overcome a challenge, we may be sure that another one will come. As you continue your journey through life, new challenges lie ahead. And the question is, how will you face them? A wise man once said, "In all your ways, submit to Him, to God, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." We should make God our focus, and we should rely on Him to go on. We should submit to Him, to His word, to His will, if we want the blessings and the approval of God. So the question is, what will be the focus of your life? Will it be to serve God or to serve yourself? Will you follow Him or will you follow the pattern of this world? We live in a time of incredible rebellion against God and against His will. The society in which we live is profoundly materialistic, narcissistic, and anti-God. In other words, people are deeply self-centered. If you don't believe this, just look at the things people post on Facebook. Do not fall in this trap. God's patience should not be taken as a sign of His approval. We may rest assured that He's keeping track of everyone's actions And that he will call everyone to give an account for the kind of life they lived. Solomon said this, "Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." And I'd like to encourage you to keep several things in mind as you open a new chapter in your life. And I'm going to keep it really brief at two. But here's number one. Keep the cross of Christ at the center of your life. The cross of the Lord Jesus is a constant reminder of who we are as fallen human beings and what the Lord has done for us. See, the cross assures us of God's boundless love for us and of his willingness to sacrifice himself for our salvation. The cross may not be popular today, but then again, it's never really been popular. The New Testament says and reminds us that the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing. Those words were written 2,000 years ago. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. May I remind you that although there are a number of things you could and you should do, such as reading the Bible and praying to keep the cross central, it is very important also to stay connected to the local church. The church is the chosen body of believers who love the Lord Jesus, and there is no better context where you can grow in your faith than in the local church. And for that, I'd like to encourage you to be part of the church, not just nominally, but truly and in reality. The church is the place where the cross of Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus, is it put in its proper place. So don't be a lone ranger, but instead give priority to the fellowship and edification that you can only receive among when you are among other believers. And number two, as I get close to closing, is seek spiritual blessings above everything else. Now, I realize that right now, and especially at the young age at which you are, it may seem like material and temporal things are more important. It may seem like family relationships, health, and money are the most important things. Nevertheless, that is not the case. And as time goes on, you will come to appreciate this truth. What matters most are spiritual blessings and being thankful for them. It matters most to know God and to follow him. And this not out of fear or out of a sense of duty, but because of our love for him. And being able, and what also matters is being able to stand before him one day, knowing that you lived a life pleasing to him. And now I have to come back as I close to the Apostle Paul, a man who had it all. He was an important man. He was well educated. He had all the accomplishments what one could ask for. Yet when he met the resurrected Son of God, all those things became irrelevant to him. Listen to what he says. He says, "But whatever were gains to me," and Paul had many things that he could brag about and things he could be proud of. Here's what he says, "Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them," says Paul, "I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but the righteousness which comes through faith in Christ. I want to know Christ," says the apostle, "yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." And today, through these words, the apostle challenges us to do the same. But maybe you don't think that God and following Christ are the most important things in your life. And if you don't think so, I want to tell you that you may end up wasting years of your life and ending up disappointed, feeling empty, and discovering that life without God as it's at its center is meaningless, boring, and pointless. But if You make knowing God and following Christ your target, your goal in life, then your life will be meaningful. You will live a life for which you will receive God's stamp of approval. And what else can be more important than that? And may God bless you and give you the wisdom to make the right choices now and in the coming years. Amen.